Good morning. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Let's see here. I'm going to call this meeting to order today. I guess it was it the 24th today? Holy Hannah. All right. Representative Scrappo, would you like to approve the minutes?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you. Any members, any questions, comments? All right. Seeing none. The minutes are approved. All right. First up, we are going to have Representative Dotseth, followed by Representative Nadeau. Representative Dotseth, you are hearing two bills today. House File 568 is up first for an education learning center. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Representative Jeff Dotseth, House Seat 11A. Madam Chair, I'd like to thank Chairwoman Franzen and Chair Lee, I appreciate the opportunity to share in front of you today. Members of the committee as well, I'd like to thank you as well for hearing our bill. We're back in front of you again today, so it's an honor to be here. Hearing today is House File number 568. This bill provides essential state bonding support for two educational cooperatives serving northeastern Minnesota. The Northern Lights Special Education Cooperative in my district serves five counties and 6,000 square miles, supporting nearly 2,500 students with intensive special education needs. The Area Special Education Cooperative serves 11 school districts across 3,300 square miles of northeastern Minnesota, assisting children from birth to age 22. Today, you'll hear compelling testimony from Barbara Mackey and Tanya Severson about how this funding will positively impact thousands of Minnesota families across many legislative districts. Madam Chair, these districts are unique in which they may, and they are requesting bonding support. Thank you very much.
You may state your name for the record and proceed. Welcome to the Capital Investment Committee.
Good morning, Chair Franzen and Co-Chair Lee, and the members of all the whole committee. My name is Barb Mackey, and I am the Assistant Special Ed Director for the Northern Lights Special Education Cooperative and the Northern Lights Academy. Northern Lights is a collaborative, and we serve 12 school districts. Like he said, we span five counties, so 6,000 square miles of northeastern Minnesota, all around Duluth, but not including Duluth. We provide shared special education services to students with disabilities, particularly the ones who have very complex and costly needs that rural districts cannot do on their own. Among our most critical programs is the Northern Lights Academy, which is a setting for school, and it serves students with the highest level of needs, with behavioral needs, emotional and behavioral disorders, autism spectrum disorders, and severe cognitive disabilities. These students who require intensive support are not able to remain in their normal schools because their behavior disrupts the learning of everyone. And themselves. Currently, our facility is actually in two buildings, so we have two sites, and they are both outdated, over capacity, and not designed as a specialized school with secure environment that our students need. The buildings lack space, safety features, and therapeutic design elements that are necessary for today's standards of care. House File 568 includes $6.5 million to construct new educational facilities that is built specifically for the students with our significant needs. We currently have a county partner that is able to help us secure a site, which is new since last year. The facility is not just a building, it's a promise to our families. There is a video that you have seen or you have received in your email that shows one of our parents and how it impacted the life of their son. So I encourage you to watch that in your email. I also appreciate that you were able to include us last year in our bill. So thank you.
All right. Thank you for presenting. And we are running out of time. Representative Dotseth, you have... final
Madam
thoughts.
Chair, I'm just asking if we can yield a few more moments just for the second testifier, just briefly for a snip of what
okay, we're running out of time, so
Okay, thank you, Chair Franzen, Co-Chair Lee, and members of the Capital Investment Committee. My name is Tanya Sievertson. I am the Assistant Director of Special Education for Area Special Education Cooperative in Northwest Minnesota. We serve 11 school districts across 3,300 square miles, supporting students from birth through age 22 with a wide range of disabilities and complex needs. I'm here today to ask for your support of House File 568, which would provide $6.5 million towards building a desperately needed setting for Educational Learning Center in Crookston. Right now, families in our region are facing impossible choices. The closest Level 4 facility is more than 100 miles away. For students with the most intensive needs, those with significant behavioral challenges, autism spectrum disorder, or cognitive disabilities, that distance often means they must receive homebound instruction, missing out on both educational and social opportunities. This gap puts a huge strain on families and schools. Parents feel helpless. Teachers are trying to meet intense needs in settings that simply weren't built for that purpose, impacting learning for all.
Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And maybe more of a statement than a question for y'all, but the uniqueness about your operations are that it can't be levied. It doesn't belong to a school district. It works for all the other school districts. And these are the vulnerable people, the people that can't help. They're no fault of their own where they are and what they do. And there's an opportunity for us to help these folks. The school board that runs them are the superintendents of all the school districts. And as money is going, the school districts aren't in the position to be doling money out left and right anymore. So I think we as a state need to look at these operations as an opportunity to help these parents, to help these kids, and to help our communities get some of these people more mainstream. And I appreciate your effort to come down and try to get funding for it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Scraba. Representative Ryer, we are way out of time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Quick question. Is the ask for $6.5 million for each of the cooperatives, or is it $6.5 million across the two? I'm just not clear from the legislation. Thanks.
Ms. McKay?
It's for both.
Or Mackey?
So one is the $6.5 for us and then $6.5 for ASIC.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. And I don't mean to be rude to the two of you ladies who traveled a long distance to be at the Capitol. We really do appreciate your time, and we want you to know that we appreciate your time. Sadly, we have so many needs across the state that we are very limited in time. Representative Dotseth?
Madam Chair, thank you for hearing our bill today. I think you see the importance of this bill, and it's a regional need across northeastern Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you. And I know I've heard this project a couple of times, too, so thank you for making your way back down again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, members, we have Representative Nitto up next. And members, we are... Oh, Dotseth has one more. That's right. Oh, God. Yours went so long that I thought we were done. House File 433 for you for the Cloquet Area Fire District. And members, we really are, like, we are really tight for time. 4 minutes max. We just went over by 4 minutes, which means that eats into our members' other bills. So let's be respectful. And Representative Dotseth to House File 433.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Jeff Dotseth, House Seat 11A. Thank you, Chair Franzen, Chair Lee, and members of the committee. I'm here today to represent House File number 433, requesting $10.5 million for the Cloquet Area Fire District. It's to build a new regional public safety facility created in 2009. The unique fire district merges four departments, serving two cities, seven townships, and has a proven model of regional cooperation, reducing redundancy and saving taxpayer dollars. Your support will help ensure we continue delivering critical emergency services effectively across northeastern Minnesota. I appreciate your consideration and respectfully ask for your support. With me today to testify and answer any questions is from Cloquet is the Fire Chief, Jesse Buse.
Mr. Buse, to the record.
Yes.
Please state your name.
Good morning. Jesse Buse, Fire Chief of the Cloquet Area Fire District. Just with me showing support is County Commissioner Susan Zimzaloni. And good morning, Chair Franzen, Co-Chair Lee, and members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today in support of House File 433, which seeks state investment to help construct a new regional fire and ambulance facility in northeastern Minnesota. The Cloquet Area Fire District is unlike any other emergency response department in the state. Mm-hmm. Since our creation in 2009, we've taken significant steps to consolidate services, improve efficiency, and innovate how we deliver fire and rescue and emergency medical response across city and township boundaries. We're a model for what regionalization can look like, and I believe we're helping lead the way forward for emergency services across Minnesota. Our districts combine four former fire departments and now serves two cities and seven townships, and we routinely respond 20 to 30 miles outside of our base of operations to provide mutual aid and critical care ambulance intercepts to neighboring communities. Smaller departments are increasingly calling on us because of staffing shortages and growing service demands, and we're proud to support those neighboring departments. While we have created a stronger, more effective emergency response system, we've done so from the ground up, with no financial reserves, no built-in state aid, and limited access to public safety funding streams that other agencies rely on. Despite these challenges, our community is stepping up. Most of the funding for this facility will come from a local levy, but we're here today to ask the state to be a partner, not only in supporting our region, but in recognizing a statewide model of service integration that can help solve the broader crisis facing emergency services in Minnesota. And Representative Scrub and I have had some spirited conversations. I think all conversations with Representative Scrub are spirited. But, you know, he as well understands the issues we're faced with throughout the state of Minnesota and how this regionalization and the efforts that the Cloquet Area Fire District have undertaken can help solve some of those challenges throughout the state. Through this district model, we've been able to reduce our fleet by five large fire vehicles and consolidate response operations currently spread across multiple outdated buildings. We combine administration's training and equipment into one purpose-built facility, and we're driving down costs, reducing redundancy, and improving service delivery across our region. We do have a large amount of non-taxable land from the University of Minnesota Forestry Center, DNR parcels, federal Indian trust lands owned by the Fond du Lac Band, all of which limit our ability to raise the revenues locally, and that's why state partnership is crucial. This request isn't just about bricks and mortar. It's about recognizing the value of consolidation, the success of regional innovation, and a model that others can follow to maintain and strengthen public safety across Minnesota. So I respectfully ask that you support House File 433, and I thank you, chairs and members of the committee, for a few minutes to speak with you this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Booth. And I'm glad to hear that we're not the only ones that deal with Representative Scraba's spirited, antics, trying to be polite here. thank you for testifying. Members, any questions? Okay, seeing none, Representative Dotseth, to your bill.
Thank you, members, and Chair, I appreciate you hearing our bill today. I think you see the importance of this regional bill, and I think you'll find that Carlton County, as we've mentioned before, is one of the highest taxed communities in the state. So we really need some assistance from the committee today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for coming down to testify today. Appreciate it. Representative Nehru, and then we got Representative Gander, followed by Representative Baker. So please get on deck behind the testifying table so you are ready to move on up. All right, Representative Nehru, to your bill. You have House File 1689. Magnus Veterans, and I've already met one of your people behind you. Hi there again.
Yeah, you let him in. Thank you.
I did let him in. I'm like, ooh, I got access. You can come in with me.
Veterans show up early and they stay late. So thank you, Madam Chair and members. And I couldn't be more pleased to be here today in front of Capital Investment to introduce you to the Magnus Veterans Foundation. It's in Dayton, Minnesota, which is in my district. They have an incredibly person-centered approach to healing and restoration of veterans. It's a small ask today, but it has a massive impact. They have broad state impact across the state, and it's focused on individual outcomes. And I know the time is short, and with that, I want you to hear from Dr. Alderman and the other testifier.
Dr. Alderman, we want to hear from you too, not so much from Representative Nadeau. You may proceed.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. My name is Lieutenant Colonel retired Sean Alderman. Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, and committee members. It is an honor to be here with you today. I am the founder of the Magnus Veterans Foundation. I served 31 years in the Army, first as a Special Forces soldier, then as a doctor taking care of our Special Forces here and abroad. A decade into the global war on terrorism, the Special Operations Command implemented a comprehensive approach to take care of the whole person and family that addresses the mind, body, heart, and spirit. I saw this validated model heal soldiers with horrible PTSD, bring families back from the brink of implosion, and fully rehabilitate our combat wounded. We created the Magnus Veterans Foundation using this proven program. Minnesota veterans and their families are now the only ones in the world with access to this level of care outside of the active duty Special Forces community. We provide free comprehensive health care to veterans and their families with a focus on individual performance and social connectivity. Our patients get access to medical providers, nursing staff, physical therapists and trainers, psychologists, social workers, chiropractors, chaplains, and over 100 regular volunteers that help close the gap that exists between our veteran families and their communities. We provide full primary care services to those without access to health care and supplemental care to those with access. We currently serve over 1,000 patients who come from across the entire state. Demand for our services continues to swell, with us onboarding 5 to 10 new patients a week. We are seeing increasing acuity and complexity in our patients showing up on our doorstep after being told it would be months before the VA could get them in. An increasing number of new patients are presenting in crisis, and we are meeting them at that time and space. Our patient mortality rate due to suicide remains at zero, and that is just but one of our outcome measures that highlights our effectiveness. We have secured the financial coverage to cover our clinical operations. This includes the initial donation of a $4 million 36-acre estate by my aunt and uncle. I have personally delivered over $600,000 of free health care, and our staff take considerable pay cuts for the opportunity to care for our veterans and their families. For example, our psychologist took a $60 an hour pay cut to work with our patient population. Our community volunteers staff the front desk, clean, offer routine maintenance, and keep the campus beautiful. All of this allows us to deliver our services for just $50 per person per month in donations which come from individuals and corporations across the country. Again, our veteran families pay nothing for our services. We delivered over $500,000 in free care in 23 and over $879,000 in free care in 24. We are asking for $900,000 to provide the space for us to deliver approximately $3 million of future care per year to over 5,000 patients. Our state's investment in Magnus will save lives and fully heal our warrior families for years to come. Madam, Mr. Chair, if possible, can we give Chris, a Minnesota National Guard Desert Storm veteran, a minute to share his Magnus story with the committee?
You may state your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Chris Lamott. Good morning, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, and committee. I'm a Gulf War vet. My deployment affected my life in ways I didn't understand. When I came home, I dealt with my trauma by drinking it away. It was a 10-year struggle, but I was able to quit drinking with some help from AA, and I managed to put my past behind me, or so I thought. In 2010, I had a man attack me with a butcher knife. He was high on methamphetamine. I had no choice but to defend myself and those around me, and that night, he died on the sidewalk, and all the trauma from my past came back to hit me hard. I started drinking again. I was having panic attacks. I was depressed and struggling. In 2023, I had a close friend who was a veteran drink himself to death. I had another veteran call me in the middle of the night contemplating suicide. I knew what he was going through because I was suicidal too. What felt like my last chance, I went to Magnus. At Magnus, I did everything they had to offer. I did acupuncture. I went to yoga. I went to recovery groups. I went to veteran support groups. I see a therapist at Magnus. As often as I could, I would work out at the gym. Today, I'm sober over 2 years. Magnus literally saved my life. I now continue my journey with Magnus, helping my fellow veterans. I can assure you that Magnus is changing the lives of veterans and their families every day. And I just want to finish with this. My friend who drank himself to death, because of his service, his widow is a member of Magnus at no charge. Magnus truly does take care of the whole family. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your story, Mr. Lamott. We appreciate that. Thank you for your service. Members, do you have any questions? Okay. To your bill, Representative Nadeau.
Thank you, members. You know, Magnus is, I'm glad to be here with Magnus. They're an organization that cares. They build trust. They work hard and they have fun. And the communities in Northwest Hennepin County have rallied around Magnus, and I hope that the state can help make this small ask become a reality. So thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Thanks for making your way down to the Capitol, gentlemen. Next up, we have Representative Gander. And then we're going to have Representative Baker. And then we're going to have Representative Duran. All right. Representative Gander, House File 3145. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Steve Gander, rep from 1B up in northern Minnesota. And thank you, Madam Chair, Co-Chair Lee, and members. I'm proud to present for your consideration House File 3145, which appropriates $2 million for road improvements in Hendrum, Minnesota. You all have a handout that came with your packet pertaining to this. Hendrum's a small town in my district in northwest Minnesota, about 50 miles south of East Grand Forks. It's one of those classic close-knit rural communities, quiet, hardworking, and deeply Minnesotan. Between driving through their town about 30 times this past year and knocking on doors along the way, I might be personally responsible for some of the wear and tear on those roads. But jokes aside, this is an essential infrastructure need that has real impacts on residents and businesses alike. With your permission, Madam Chair, I'd like to invite Hendrum Mayor Kurt Johannesson to share more about the project and why these funds are so critical to the future of their community.
Welcome, Mayor. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Kurt Johannesson, Mayor of the City of Hendrum. Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to allow me to speak before you today. Again, I serve as mayor of the city of Hendrum, a beautiful community located in the middle of a farming community that also serves as a growing bedroom community of the Fargo-Moorhead area for young professionals and families seeking stability and connection, a small town life. Our median age is just 37, and the statistic tells a story of renewal. A new generation choosing to raise their families here, drawn by our values, our people, and our potential. Today, I'm here to respectfully request your support for funding that will allow us to move forward with a critical street improvement project. One includes a combination of mill and overlay, full-way construction, and paving of roads and main gravel for far too long. This project has been years in the making. Like many small towns, we've battled limited resources and difficult decisions. For over a decade, our community's energy and funding were focused on a single essential priority, protecting ourselves from recurring floods from the Red River. That fight ended in success with the construction of a levee system that now safeguards our homes, businesses, and future. But it's also meant postponing badly investments in our street infrastructure. Now with the levee in place, we are turning our attention to the next chapter, rebuilding and modernizing our roads. Our existing infrastructure is worn and patched, and in many areas, new development is literally stuck in the mud. Without paved streets, it's difficult to attract and retain the very families that are choosing Hendrum as their home. This is especially true in our newest housing areas, the Waldrice Addition, where gravel roads are limiting growth and deterring investment. Compounding our challenges, we've also experienced the loss of our local school due to consolidation, an institution that holds deep emotional and cultural significance in rural communities like ours. This makes it even more critical that we invest in the remaining pillars that give our community identity and sustainability, our homes, our roads, and our ability to grow. The Street Improvement Project is a tangible next step in building a future that reflects the promise our community holds. While we're prepared to commit local funds to cover the engineering and soft costs associated with the project, we cannot shoulder the full cost of the project alone. We're seeking a partnership with the state to help close the funding gap and ensure this momentum in our community isn't lost. Therefore, we're asking for $2 million to provide the essential need to cover the vast majority of the construction costs associated with the project. Thank you for your consideration of this request and for your continued investment in the future of rural Minnesota. We can now answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mayor. Members, questions? Okay, seeing none, you must have done a really great job. Representative Gander, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have testified before this committee once before, and on that day I did bring treats, but in case you all forgot, I brought treats again.
They'll be coming around.
And so to this bill, again, thank you for your consideration. Hendrum really has done a beautiful job, as he said, with flood control. And now if they could turn their attention to streets, they're working on workforce housing also in this community. And this would be a really important step to, again, residents in East, in the western part of Minnesota, right in their town, able to move in there with good streets. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. Thank you, Representative Gander. And thank you for coming down to the Capitol today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. All right. Representative Baker, you have House File 2887 for the great county of Kandawai.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Mr. Chair, thank you for having me this morning. I believe I have online with me my testifier. I think he's maybe getting in here anytime. So anyway, House File 2887 is kind of a second phase of a very important water project that the city of Kandi Ohi County gets kind of sometimes confused with the county of Kandi Ohi. This is the city of Kandi Ohi. About 7 miles straight east of Wilmer. And again, I'm honored to have the mayor, John Lindstrand, with me this morning, Madam Chair. And so I think we'll just turn over the project to him and just again in light of time. So thank you.
That sounds great. Thank you. You may state your name for the record and proceed to our testifier online. Mr. Lindstrom. Oh, he did?
He said he was waiting to get in with the host.
Oh, he's on. Okay, Mayor Lindstrand, are you there? Maybe I should start singing.
No, go ahead, friend.
Mayor?
Hello.
Yoo-hoo.
Hi, thanks. They just connected me in. Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, and members of the committee. Thanks for allowing me the chance to speak on behalf of the City of Kandi Ohi. City of Kandi Ohi is a small community located about 100 miles straight west of the cities, or just about 7 miles outside of Wilmer, Minnesota. We have a population of about 550 residents, and most of the city's infrastructure is at least 60 years old and is in need of replacement because of the age and deterioration over the years. Due to a lot of the changing requirements from the Minnesota Department of Health and the EPA and MPCA, we're always working to improve our water supply treatment needs and to meet those current regulations. Our water supply is handled by two wells, one that was constructed in 1941 and the other in 1945. And we have a high level of iron, manganese, and hardness in our community. So our current treatment systems lack a lot of the provisions that are needed to adequately treat those undesirable contaminants. The treatment buildings that we have are also very old, and one is an old brick building with a lot of aging components. We do a lot of chemical treatment for our water, and we just, with the size and scope of what that building is, it lacks a lot of the adequate ventilation and isolation needs that we have. And our other well is housed in a small wooden structure, and that also lacks the adequate security and control systems that we would need. And they don't satisfy the safety requirements needed for room ventilation, chemical isolation, spill containment, and along with the aging system, it's required a lot of continued maintenance and repair needs, which is, for a town of 500, becoming much more of a financial strain with a limited tax base. We created a capital improvement plan and broke up a lot of our infrastructure rehabilitation into three phases. Our phase one was to replace our water tower, and that is currently underway and funded through rural development and Minnesota PFA WIF funds and loans, and that includes the construction of a 75,000-gallon water tower, storage tower, and replacement of some of our water and sewer lines. What I'm speaking on behalf of today is we're prepping for phase two, which includes a pre-design, design, and engineering and construction and the equipment of our water infrastructure needs, including two new wells and a water treatment facility to comply with the drinking water safety standards. We're seeking funding to help with those needs and allow us to meet the updated Minnesota Pollution Control Agency guidelines and the requirements for the treatment of iron, manganese, and hardness within the city. Included in plans for phase two is the replacement of some of our aging water and sewer mains within the city, and then plans for the balance within our phase three of our projects. Our goal within our capital improvement plan is to replace all of the city's aging infrastructure and to bring all of our systems into compliance and eliminate periodic breaks and water losses and water quality issues. So I thank you for your time and the opportunity here to speak on behalf of the city. And I hope that we're able to find a way to work through this.
Thank you, Mayor, for your time. Thank you for testifying. Members, do we have any questions for Representative Baker or Mayor Lindstrand? Okay, seeing none, Representative Baker, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and members. Again, this I've been to a number of their city council member meetings, and they are a very hardworking, hands-on, small community that have been very efficient with their current system and make it last as long as they can. Again, I appreciate the second phase of their request today. I know it's a little bit of an extra shot. It's a $7 million request, but it's an important one, and this is the one that's going to help them get them over the edge. So with that, members, I appreciate you considering this for further consideration. Thank you, Madam Chair, very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Baker. All right, Representative Duran, followed by Representative Joy, then Schumacher and Backer. Representative Duran, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your legislation.
All right.
House File 2819.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Co-Chair Lee, for allowing me to speak on behalf of HF 2819. I'm Representative Duran. And this bill will allow Red Lake Reservation to construct a wastewater stability pond and associated water and sewer line infrastructure for the Little Rock District on the Red Lake Indian Reservation. With me, I have two testifiers here, and we're going to start off with Secretary Strong.
Bonjour. Secretary Strong, bonjour. Please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Bonjour, bimose, gnu, indigenous, makwendu, dem, miskwagamui, zagani, and donjaba. My name is Sam Strong. I'm Secretary of the Red Lake Nation. I'm here on behalf of our people. Co-chairs Lee and Franson and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak. Red Lake is facing a severe housing crisis that cannot be addressed without your partnership. A 2023 Wilder research study found 627 people on the reservation are homeless and 695 experiencing housing instability. That means 11.3% of our population is homeless, over 6,000% higher than Minnesota's statewide average of 0.18%. Nearly a quarter of these people are parents with children. Put yourself in their shoes, sleeping outside, in a car, or in an abandoned building. During our winters, that is no easy feat. That's the reality of these people. Please keep them in your thoughts and prayers. We're ready to build homes. We're ready to provide shelter, but we can't. Our wastewater systems are old and antiquated, mostly built in the 60s and 70s. Our three lagoons are overloaded and simply cannot support any new housing or any new business development. This project is urgent. We need to invest in modern infrastructure to unlock housing, restore dignity, and create economic opportunity. This project cannot wait. The time is now. Think of our children who are struggling. Please help us give them hope. Miigwech for your time and for your partnership. Together, we can save lives and create a future filled with hope and prosperity. And I want to invite each of you to come up and visit our reservation to see the good things, but to also see the need for our partnership. Miigwech.
Miigwech, Mr. Strong, would you like to state your name for the record and talk to us, Mr. Barrett?
Yes. Bonjour, co-chairs, committee members, and legislators. My name is Thomas Barrett, and I am from the Sturgeon Clan. I've been a Little Rock community member since 1997. As the current Little Rock District Representative, I could attest to the need for this water waste lagoon project. On the Red Lake Reservation, we are the largest land-based district, but we're also the lowest populated. Our district holds a unique opportunity for much-needed housing expansion. The Red Lake Nation is currently the largest tribal nation in Minnesota and growing. The need for housing expansion is upon us, and in order to do this, we need the proper infrastructure. That is why a new wastewater treatment plant is the critical first step toward breaking the logjam. With modern wastewater capacity, we will finally be able to construct new homes and even attract businesses on our reservation. This plant will immediately allow us to provide safe housing for our people and will lay the groundwork for future economic development. It is not just a piece of infrastructure. It is the key that will unlock hope and opportunity for Red Lake's future. The current Little Rock community homes use individual septic tanks with drain fields for wastewater. These systems are closely spaced and are failing. Constructing a wastewater lagoon in the Little Rock community elevates the potential for possible health issues and safety concerns. This is a shovel-ready project with all the required documents, plans, specifications, and environmental clearances in place. Honorable legislators, we respectfully ask for your help to make this happen. By funding this project, you will address an immediate humanitarian need and also invest in Red Lake's long-term growth and prosperity. Miigwech for your time. Thank you.
Miigwech, Mr. Barrett. Members, questions? No? Okay. Representative Duran, to your bill.
With this small request, guys, this is going to impact a community greatly here. So please think about this and help support. Thank you very much.
And thank you for making your way down to the Capitol, Mr. Strong and Mr. Barrett. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Miigwech, thank you.
All right. We have Representative Joy. You have three bills up. Lightning round. First up with Holly, 2267.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Chairs, and team. 2267 is a road improvement fund infrastructure bill, and I'm in matter of time, I'm just going to let go to the testifier.
Wonderful. Looks like we have two of my favorites here, frequent flyers. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Co-Chair. We've had the opportunity to speak to a bunch of you guys already, so thank you for your time. My name is Sean Mork. I'm the mayor of Holly. In addition, with me, I have Lonnie Nooner, who is our city administrator. We are here to respectfully request your support for HF 2267, which seeks funding for critical roadway improvements in our community. Our project addresses two key areas within our city, a commercial corridor with our industrial park and aging residential streets. The commercial segment currently consists of gravel roads that serve the vital connection between our businesses in our industrial park and Trunk Highway 10. These gravel roads are a barrier to our economic development. The residential component of the project targets the streets of that have deteriorated significantly over time. We plan to address these through a combination of full reconstruction and mill and overlay, and ensuring a long-term durability and the safety for our residents. These improvements are essential for our quality of life and are utilized considerably by residents to walk and bike throughout our community. Our city has not stood in the face of infrastructure challenges. We've made substantial investments to our utility systems, modernizing and upgrading infrastructure needs for our current and future generations. These utility upgrades are now in place for decades to come, and we're proud of the achievement, but these investments have come at a cost. Additionally, the construction of a new middle school, a transformative development of our community, has further stretched our financial capacities of our residents. As a result, our citizens are already shouldering a considerable tax burden. Despite this, the city is committed to contributing up to $2 million, representing 50% of the total estimated cost of our roadway project. However, we need the state partnership to close the funding gap. Your support will ensure this project can move forward without placing further strain on our residents. More importantly, it will help us avoid costly repairs in the future, preserving public funds by acting now rather than reacting later. This isn't just about paving roads. It's about strengthening our backbone of our rural community that is working hard, investing in itself, and planning for a substantial future. With your support today, we can ensure that the Holly remains connected, economical, viable, and welcoming place to live and work. Thank you today for your consideration, and we welcome any questions from the committee.
Thank you, Mayor. Did you have any questions?
I'm just here to
comments? You're just here to look good? All right. Gotcha. Okay. Representative Scraba.
I just want to note the upgrade in mayors. Thank you.
Yeah, we agree. We agree. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So seeing no serious questions or comments, Representative Joy, to your bill.
Chairs and committee, this is a good infrastructure bill. In matter of time, I will keep it short and brief. Thank you.
I'm sure Holly thinks it's a good infrastructure to have you out of their city, too. Maybe. Maybe not. Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for coming down to testify. Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Next up, Representative Joy, you have 799 for Barnesville.
Madam Chair.
Representative Joy.
799 is a reconstruction fund. And again, because of your time constraints that has happened, I will turn it right over to the testifier.
Praise be. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate coming before the Capital Investment Committee to discuss a bonding bill request for the City of Barnesville. I am Jeremy Cassette. I am the City Administrator for the City of Barnesville. Barnesville is a thriving and rapidly growing community in South Central Clay County. Barnesville is located along Interstate 94, approximately halfway between Fergus Falls and Moorhead. While both of these regional and economic hubs are just 30 miles away, Barnesville serves as a bedroom community for both of these communities. Young professionals have eagerly embraced the opportunity to pursue exciting career goals by raising their children in a community that is known for safety, small school class sizes, and numerous parks. Barnesville local economy has witnessed steady growth and is poised to make significant gains. The city's 47-acre commercial park is currently home to 11 businesses that operate from 15 commercial and industrial buildings. And the Economic Development Authority now plans to expand the commercial park. In order to sustain this reputation as a family and business-friendly community, in order to accommodate both existing and future growth, the city hopes to complete a long overdue upgrades to 13th Street. 13th Street consists of 5,200 linear feet between Highway 34 to the north and 9th Avenue to the south. Currently provides only one of two north-south collector streets for access of Highway 34 and I-94. The southerly section is still a gravel roadway. During the spring and fall, frost heaves create significant rutting that yields unpleasant and hazardous driving conditions. During dry summer months, dust clouds and even gravel debris threaten pedestrians and cyclists who use the adjacent paths. The significance of this route increased dramatically within about the last 20 years because of new development immediately to the east of 13th Street and at its southerly terminus. The developments currently provide about 200 homes to 500 residents. Moreover, the last several years, the city has developed approximately 70 additional lots east of 13th Street. These lots hold the potential of housing approximately 180 more residents. While young families are currently enthusiastic about the expanded housing opportunities, they have also expressed serious concerns over the safety of 13th Street. The northern half is paved that connects the commercial park to 34 and ultimately to I-94. This section is reaching the end of its servable life and now needs to be reconstructed to a 10-ton roadway. This reconstruction is vital for meeting the city's economic objectives as the absence of a 10-ton roadway has deterred many businesses from establishing locations in the commercial park. This roadway represents a major corridor that is used daily by school buses, semi-trucks, and residentials traveling to and from workforce housing. The proposed project will reconstruct 5,200 linear feet of 13th Street to an urban section roadway with curbs, gutters, and storm sewer and street lighting.
All right. Thank you. Members, do we have any questions? Yes, Representative Lee. So quiet today.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you let us know what is the total project cost in the language of the bill? You said that it doesn't require a non-state contribution. Thank you.
Mr. Cassette?
Right now, the total project is over $3 million, and currently the city is committed to $500,000. 2 years ago, we had a bonding bill for the request that we have today. Actually, it was higher than today, and we received $185,000 just to do pre-engineering work on this roadway, and that is being completed as we speak.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, seeing no other further questions, Representative Joy, quick comment to your bill.
Thank you for considering this bill.
I love that comment. Thank you, and thank you for making your way down to the Capitol. Mr. Cassette, you are such a serious testifier.
Thank you.
And you're here for
the next one.
Luckily,
I got one more. Yeah.
Okay, I know. I'm excited. I can't wait to hear how you pep up. House File 800 for you.
HF 800 is another great bill, infrastructure bill, and I'll turn it over to my testifier due to your time.
Great. Mr. Cassette, to the record. Okay, please state your name again.
We call this the Northwest.
Mr. Cassette, you'll have to state your name for the record again. Yeah.
Jeremy Cassette, City Administrator, City of Barnesville. And the next, what we're talking about is what's called the Northwest Improvement Area. And obviously that's the Northwest portion of the City of Barnesville. And what I'm talking about today is water main, sanitary sewer and stormwater system upgrades within the northwest portion of the City of Barnesville. The Northwest Improvement Area contains the oldest homes and infrastructure within Barnesville. The homes in these areas are occupied primarily by elderly residents who live on low fixed income. The vast majority of the infrastructure was installed in the 1930s and requires immediate repair or replacement. Given the scale of improvements and the demographics of this area, rate increases and other local cost-sharing strategies would place too great of a burden on the residents. In recent years, Barnesville successfully purchased and redeveloped many dilapidated properties in this area. The Northwest area presents an opportunity to build upon the proven track record, particularly because the lot size is insignificantly large to accommodate additional homes. The city now plans to perform much-needed infrastructure improvements, which are urgently necessary and may be leveraged for future development. The water main in this area consists of cast iron and asbestos concrete pipe. The area experiences costly water main breaks every year because of the pipe's age and material. However, because the pipe's diameter is undersized for providing fire flow, it represents a significant safety hazard. In the event that a fire truck needed to pump from this system, the pipe would likely cavitate and provide insignificant flow. The sanitary sewer in this area consists of pre-1970s clay tile pipe that is well beyond its designated life. The brittle material is highly susceptible to inflow and infiltration. This really is compounded by high water tables in the area, resulting in 2 to 300% flow increases every spring. The existing pipes are unable to handle this volume of flow, which only increases as new homes are being connected to the system. Ultimately, the system's age necessitates regularly costly repairs while also restraining the potential for community growth. The storm system, the storm sewer system in the area consists of original small diameter pipe. While the material composition is undocumented, its age and vintage clearly indicates that the pipe is well beyond its design life. The city plans to replace the system while performing the urgent improvements described above. Coordinating the infrastructure improvements described here will result in significant cost savings. So the city is seeking creative funding solutions to perform a total reconstruction of the water main, sanitary sewer, and storm sewer systems within the Northwest area infrastructure.
Thank you for that, Mr. Cassette. We appreciate it. Members, questions? Representative Perez Vega, do you want to ask anything? No? Okay. All right. All right, so to your bill on House File 800, Representative Joy.
Another great bill, Madam Chair, and I think I did all three bills under 12 minutes.
So you did an excellent job. Thank you. Mr. Cassette was just right to the point, too, so we appreciate that. Thank you. All right. Thanks for coming down to the Capitol from your neck of the woods there, sir. Okay, Representative Schumacher, you're one of my most favorite people in front of the committee because I just never know what's going to come out of your mouth.
That makes two of us, Madam Chair.
All right. We have quite a few bills for you, I think, right?
Two. Two
bills.
Just two today,
okay.
Madam Chair.
Well, two fun bills. We're going to start with House File 3137 for Edgerton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, this is a water infrastructure bill for the City of Edgerton. And with me today is the City Manager for the City of Edgerton.
All right. You may state your name for the record and proceed, sir.
Sure. Thank you. My name is Joel Farrington. I'm the city clerk, EDA, city treasurer. Our request is for financial assistance with our water and sewer project right here. I actually brought in a section of this is our freshwater pipe here. A lot of people can see pictures of a pipe deteriorating from the inside. This is just kind of a firsthand account of how it really looks, feels in person here. It's like warts inside the pipe, and that's really why your water turns up brown, discolored, and all that. This is cast iron. This is heavy as heck. I couldn't believe it. But this is part of our infrastructure, roughly 100 years old. This came from right in front of one of our churches in town. We just started our water and sewer project, phase one, and part of our project here meant that we had to raise our water and sewer rates. Our water and sewer rates are currently at nearly double what the USDA considers affordable. So as we look at phase two, there's really not much more that we'll be able to raise our prices to account for phase two financing as well. Our sewer was rated in the top 15% of on the project priority list, so that just goes to state that our system, it's not poor, it's pretty darn bad.
Yeah, we see that, and you know, we talk about these issues, and it's really something to see the piping up close and personal. Anybody want to take a picture with it or drink water from it? Anybody interested? All right, that's why bonding is so important around this state, is it not? All right, members, any questions? No? Okay. Representative Schumacher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is not a pipe I'd put my name on.
I had a lot of pipe jokes, but in the matter of time. All right. So next up, we have House File 1237. Mr. Farrington, thank you for coming on down and dealing with our Capital Investment Committee today and talking you about much. Your needs. We appreciate that. And for bringing the show-and-tell product as well. Okay. All right. House File 1237, Representative Schumacher.
Fantastic.
For FOLDA?
Yes, Madam Chair. House File 1237 is the Water Infrastructure Project Request for the City of FOLDA.
And you have an online testifier as well?
No.
No? Okay. All right. Great. You may state your name for the record. And
my name is Jessica Mitchell, and I am the Deputy Clerk for the City of FOLDA. Chair Franson, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. Again, my name is Jessica Mitchell, and I'm here on behalf of the City of FOLDA. Joining me is our City Clerk, Julie, who, like so many others in our town, wears multiple hats, including being part of our very limited ambulance crew. In fact, our Mayor, Jim Brown, stayed back today to cover the shift so Julie could be here. That's just one example of the dedication and teamwork that defines FOLDA. We're here today to ask for your support of our request for $17 million in state bonding to help fund a critical, once-in-a-lifetime investment in our city's water and sewer infrastructure. FOLDA is embarking on a multi-year, multi-phased project to completely rebuild our water and wastewater systems, something that hasn't been done in over 70 years. Our current infrastructure is failing. It's at the end of its service life. We are dealing with costly inefficiencies, particularly from inflow and infiltration issues that force us to treat large volumes of clean water unnecessarily. This is not just expensive, it's unsustainable. The full scope of this $49.5 million project includes modifications to our existing wastewater treatment ponds, upgrades to the wastewater collection system, a full overhaul of our water treatment plant, rehabilitation of our aging water tower, replacement of deteriorating water mains, street and storm sewer reconstruction in affected areas. I would like to share the rest of this project briefing time with FOLDA City Clerk, Julie Burchill.
You may state your name for the record and proceed. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Chair Franson, Co-Chair Lee, and the committee. My name is Julie Burchill. I am the FOLDA City Clerk and Treasurer. These upgrades that Jess mentioned are not just about pipes and pumps. They are about public health. They are about environmental protection. And they are about ensuring FOLDA can continue to thrive for our residents, our businesses, and for generations to come. Without state support, our residents are facing a daunting financial burden. The FOLDA school referendum of $35.5 million is currently under consideration and goes to a vote on May 13th of this year. If it passes, this will raise property taxes significantly. On top of that, without bonding support, utility rates are projected to increase by at least $100 per month per household. That's a heavy ask for our community. We are not asking the state to carry this burden alone. As shared during your 2023 bonding tour to FOLDA, we are leveraging every federal and local dollar we can make to make this project possible. What we need now is your partnership to bring this vision to life. This project just isn't about Fulda. It's about setting a model for how small towns across Minnesota can invest in our future. With your help, we can ensure clean water, reliable sewer systems, and environmental stewardship for the long haul. Thank you for your time, your consideration, and your continued support of communities like ours.
Thank you. Members, questions? No? Okay. All right. To your bill, Representative Schumacher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would just like to point out that the only thing that exceeds your grace and charm is the need for water infrastructure.
Oh. That's why he's one of my good friends. He gets to deal with me every day. Thank you for making your way down to the Capitol today and testifying on behalf of your city. We appreciate your time. All right, Representative Backer, you're next.
We are.
And then we're going to have Representative Igo, who has two bills. Representative Backer, you have House File 2664.
Yes. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be like Chair Schumacher. I don't have show and tell. I'm just going to have tell.
Okay? Do you have any nice comments to make about me, though, the chair?
Well, you're the best staff person that we have at Snurtstopper. You would agree, wouldn't you, Chair?
I would, of course.
Of course you would. Please don't count that for our time. No, I'm going to turn over to our testifier. This is phase three. This project has a regional impact with the Red River. As some of you may not know, Red River flows north, and this is why we saw what happened in 1997, other big flood events on the western part of Minnesota. So with that, I'm going to turn over to Ms. Byers.
Well, 1977 was the year that I was born, and some would say, never mind. Okay.
Well, you didn't have to share us your age, Chair, but thank you.
But those are good years, though. All right, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
I'm Jamie Byer. Thank you, Chair Franzen and Chair Lee and committee members. I'm the administrator at the Boyd Sioux Watershed District. And as Representative Backer said, this could be the final phase if we can secure the full $13.7 million that we're asking for. Those funds are matched locally by the Boyd Sioux Watershed District and the Red River Management Board. And we've also leveraged funding from Bowser, from Lassard Sams, LCCMR. Without the Clean Water Fund and the Legacy Amendment, this project likely wouldn't have been able to be built. Those are really important supplemental funds for the flood hazard mitigation program. As you know, these flood impoundments increase our ability to maintain resiliency during the spring snowmelt. So as Representative Backer said, you know, that's where our flooding emerges from. It also impacts water quality downstream. This project is 60% complete. So if you happen to find yourself somewhere between Herman and Breckenridge on State Highway 9, you can see it. You can see it for many miles. It sits 20 feet above the landscape. I had a senator ask me if it could be bigger. I said, well, this thing is 6 miles long. It's a mile wide. If it were in the metro, it would go from the state fairgrounds all the way to the Walker Sculpture Garden. So it's a bit of a monster. It'll be the second largest impoundment in the Red River Valley. And it also offers 260 acres of public recreation. We've created, like, I think it'll be the coolest little lazy river once we get some water in it. Lots of natural resource enhancements with it, too. So multi-purpose, and that was by design. We started development in 2008. So we're looking at a 20-year project, which is how long these things take. So I and the residents of our area and the Red River Valley would certainly appreciate your support on this bill.
Thank you. Members, questions? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, the testifier is correct. For 20 years, we've been trying to do these things, and it's a question of whether we keep building dikes higher or whether we impound the water upstream. And so these are the type of things we need to do. I wish there was, Representative Lilly has, all the people have contributed, I wish there was some federal money that would get into this because it helps both sides of the river and also in Canada. But these are the types of impoundments that need to be done, and I wish it didn't take 20 years.
Thank you, Representative Hansen, making a good claim of why bonding is important to the state of Minnesota. All right, seeing no other further comments or questions, Representative Backer, to your bill.
Thank you for your time. Have a great day.
All right, and thank you for making your way down to the Capitol today to testify. We appreciate that. Representative Myers,
Or Representative Igo, sorry, you are up next with two bills, and then it'll be Representative Meyer, followed by myself, and Representative Scraba will take the gavel for me, just so he can have some paybacks. That's it. That's the only reason why. All right. Representative Igo, you have two bills up. You may proceed with House File 3049 for Palisade.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. House File 3049 is wastewater and water system funding for the City of Palisade, located in northern Aiken County. Their infrastructure is over 40 years old and is approaching its end of life and needs lots of upgrades to keep the city flourishing so they can continue to invest in their businesses and in their housing developments to continue being a staple for northern Aiken County and really northern Minnesota. But I can't tell the story the best. The best will be my mayor from the City of Palisade, who is with us virtually today. So I'd like to just kick it off to her.
Thank you, Representative Igo. Mayor, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Gaylene Spolrich, Mayor, City of Palisade. Good morning, House Chairs and Committees. Thank you for hearing our need this morning. We're a small city with big city needs, so I appreciate your time, and I appreciate the Senate, the Mr. Igo, for presenting this for us. So I want to paint a little picture of what we inherited here. As a newly elected city council, we inherited serious fiscal and mismanagement challenges. And what I'm presenting today is only one of the big issues that we inherited. The City of Palisade is a rural community located in Aiken County in northeast Minnesota, 9 miles east of Highway 169 and Aiken County State 8 Highway 3 along the Mississippi River. We're 2.5 hours north of the Twin Cities with a population of less than 200 residents. Our median age is 61. Our median income is less than 40K. Our poverty rate is 20%. And the average travel time for work is 40 minutes. What I'm presenting to you today is an ask for funding that we have no means to support any other way without this bond funding approval. The city has an immediate need to improve their water supply, as having received multiple significant deficiencies identified by the Minnesota Department of Health and drinking water quality sample results outside of established standards. The city is also looking at ways to improve their sanitary sewer collection system, as it is currently reaching the end of design life and maintenance costs have steadily increased. Other needs may be discovered during the preliminary analysis. To address the needs of the community, it is proposed to evaluate the water storage components, water supply, water treatment, water main distribution looping, and highlight any additional needs. The city is also proposing to evaluate the sanitary sewer collection system and treatment facility. The city's existing municipal water system consists of two groundwater wells. The well number one is located inside the pump house. Well number two is located adjacent to well number one. The city adds trace amounts of chlorine and fluoride to one drinking water as required by MDH. The city 40,000-gallon elevated water storage tank and distribution system were constructed in 1984. City staff have indicated that the distribution system is functioning with no known breaks, reporting a limited number of inoperable valves, hydrants, and several water shutoffs as their system concerns. The city's immediate needs are the deficiencies in the water quality, condition of the water tower, and the ability to shut off water to minimal areas within the city. There is no backup or standby power source present at that facility. The wastewater system. There are 92 total individual connections to the city's sanitary sewer collection system. The collection system is comprised of 38 low-pressure collection system lift stations to which gravity service lines discharge from the residences and businesses served. All the lift station pumps are in a forced main collection system, and there are 38 grinder pump lift stations comprised of 29 simplex and 8 duplex type units with a total of 47 pumps in this system. There are known issues with this treatment system. The BioClear treatment fiberglass tanks are showing wear and discoloration due to weather and sun exposure. The city has to replace recirculation pumps much more than was expected. The UV sampling tank does not have a weatherproof watertight cover, allowing rain and snow to enter. The structure is shallow, not insulated. The UV sampling tank is not sufficiently sealed or adequately drained, allowing groundwater to frequently cover the floor, causing a mess and a potential electrical hazard because city staff has to stand up in 6 inches of water when completing maintenance and sampling. So with those very few points that I'm sharing here, because there are many more that I could share, this is another infrastructure system with no backup or standby power source present. So with that being said, I know that I only have 5 minutes, but I could talk for 3 hours. But I do want to thank you, House chairs and committees, for allowing us to be heard today with our dire need to repair our failing infrastructure systems.
Thank you, Mayor, for that testimony. What I call that is a hot mess express that you have inherited. My heart goes out to you because I can sense the panic in your voice. Members, do you have any comments or questions? Representative Igo.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to my mayor from Palisade for coming to testify. I think you heard it there first, the issue we're dealing with. And it should be known the city is actively looking for other funding streams to partner with state bonding so they can get this project done. Thank you for the consideration.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for taking the time out of your day, Mayor, to advocate for the city of Palisade. Representative Igo, your final bill is House File 296 for Hibbing. And did you bring any treats today?
Madam Chair, I knew that would be the first question you asked. I apologize. There is no petitza today. We are working on it.
Okay.
We will bring it. We, our deepest apologies.
All right. Thank you. All right. Then, to your bill, Representative Igo.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Today, we have a really exciting project for the city of Hibbing, the largest city on Minnesota's Iron Range and the hub of the Iron Range. It's going to be for the Carey Lake Recreation Area, which is going to be infrastructure that is desperately needed to continue to grow the tourism economy while also support the surrounding area. It's a really crucial project that's bringing in partnership from the area and really bringing a lot of excitement from the city. But I can't tell that story the best as I can as my friend Mayor Pete Hajduk here, so I'd love to pass it on to him to tell the story of Carey Lake.
Welcome back to the committee, Mayor. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Yes, my name is Pete Hajduk, and thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning to everyone, Co-Chair Lee, and members of the committee for the opportunity to speak and support this bill for the City of Hibbing. As Mayor of Hibbing, I would also like to thank Representative Igo for authoring this bill, HF 296, and also for its ongoing support of our region besides just our city. He's done a fantastic job for us. The Carey Lake Recreational Area is the jewel of the Hibbing Park system. Carey Lake is comprised of a 145-acre lake surrounded by 1,200 acres of recreational park land. It sits just 4 miles from our downtown and is connected by a paved bike pathway. Current amenities include swimming beach and bathhouse, fishing pier, boat landing, pavilion and picnic sites, birding area, and 15 miles of non-motorized ski, walking, and bike trails, including lit ski trails. As part of the community engagement, during our most recent comprehensive planning study, Hibbing residents reported to the city staff that they would like to see improvements and additional amenities for our area. That's why I'm here today, requesting your assistance as we look to make significant upgrades to the Carey Lake Recreation Area. As I have mentioned, this area provides public access to natural spaces, including wetlands and forested areas, access to the largest lake within our city limits, and provides year-round recreation opportunities for not only Hibbing residents, but for our region and those in the state looking for an outdoor destination. This project would make much-needed improvements to the recreation area's infrastructure, as Representative had mentioned, and facilities, along with preparing the area for connectivity with other regional trails, including ATV trails, the Redhead Mountain Bike Park in Chisholm, and Mesaba Trail. With an estimated cost of $10.5 million, we are seeking $5.2 million from the bond proceeds. Funds would be for design, construction, furnishing, equipping improvements, and amenities. Enhancement would include shoreline, campground, North Park Road, creation of new ski, bike, and multipurpose trails. We do realize this is a big undertaking for our city, and certainly understand that these projects need to be prioritized and they need to be phased. And our top priority at this time is our campground. We have committed at this point, we've done archaeological, historical, environmental, and wetland studies. So we are committed, and we are shovel ready. We have already committed a local match of $1 million to date for the campground, which once completed, we feel will have the potential to produce revenue for future park improvements. This project is vital to the economic development of the community and the region as we create a destination recreation area that brings visitors from across the state to our community, to our region, so that they too can enjoy the outdoors. It will also improve the well-being of our residents and enhance recreational opportunities for generations to come. Again, we greatly appreciate the opportunity to put a request before you this morning, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have at this time.
Thank you, Mayor. Members, questions? Okay, Representative Igo, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, again, for the opportunity to hear this bill today and for us to explain it to you. I just want to emphasize something. It's not every day that you have a city come to you and say they have an 1,100-acre park inside their city limits. And this is an opportunity for the city of Hibbing to invest in itself and continue to make it that hub of Minnesota's Iron Range and diversify our economy. And it does go, I should mention, too, we've had a hard hit on the range in the last month. Mm-hmm. And it's projects like these and investing in them that continue to move our region forward and keep our people living there and continuing the Iron Range for generations to come. So thank you for your support today.
Thank you, Representative Igo, and thank you for making your way down to the Capitol today, Mayor. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right, Representative Meyer. House file 2802 for Tonka Bay.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Chair Lee, for hearing House File 2802. This is actually for my community, Tonka Bay, $5.7 million request, and I'm going to turn it over to my mayor, Adam Jennings.
Appreciate that.
Mayor Jennings, please state your name for the record. Welcome to the committee.
Appreciate it. Thank you. My name is Adam Jennings. I am the mayor of Tonka Bay. Madam Chair and members, thank you for taking the time today to listen to the needs of Tonka Bay. When I was first elected to Tonka Bay City Council in 2016 and was going through an orientation of our city, I was introduced to, among others, our city engineer. Before he even took a seat, he remarked to me that our city's water, sewer, and roads didn't need to be replaced now. They were in such a state of disrepair due to their age that they needed to be replaced several years prior. He indicated that if there was one thing he wanted to take away from our meeting, it was the need to do everything we could to prioritize and get started on updating our infrastructure as soon as possible. Throughout my first term, and as our engineer predicted, our city began to experience an uptick in water main breaks. During my first 2 years on the council, the city experienced 4 water main breaks along our main water line. Over the next 2 years, however, that number increased to 24. And extended into 2020 during COVID when we were all required to shelter in place. To put this into perspective, each one of these breaks would leave the entire city without water for extended periods of time, sometimes for an entire day, and could happen at any moment. This was more than a simple inconvenience. It impacted the elderly, which makes up a significant percentage of the city, the immune compromised, and left our fire hydrants effectiveless. They could occur at any time, day or night, and at any time of year, including sub-zero conditions, which put our public works personnel at unnecessary risk when we were overseeing repairs along a busy county road. In fact, I had the personal misfortune of having one of these breaks occur one morning while I was showering for work and had a head full of shampoo. Financially speaking, each break cost the city roughly $15,000, which you can imagine adds up quickly and easily overwhelmed our city's operating budget, which at the time was roughly $1.2 million. Put another way, each break was roughly 1% of our overall budget. and it was evident that something that needed to be done as quickly as possible. I began my tenure as mayor in 2021 and made infrastructure my top priority. It took some time to get the financing in place, but we embarked on two projects in both 2023 and 2024, totaling $13 million in improvements and represents roughly 25% of the city's total system. I'm happy to report that we've experienced no water main breaks along the main artery that feeds the entire city since it's been replaced, but we now find ourselves chasing ancillary breaks in the respective neighborhoods which are fed by the main line, and not without significant expense and the necessary tax levies required to pursue these endeavors. I'm here today to request any help that the legislator may be able to provide as we move forward. For you in the today in the handout provided in your packet, you can see not only our next project that we've identified, but also what a prototypical project size we intend to pursue as we work through our capital plan and tackle those areas prioritized by the greatest number of breaks, roughly $5 to $6 million each. The principal and interest easily translates into 10% annual tax levies without incorporating other cost initiatives like police, fire, and daily city operations. This represents a significant burden on our residents, both over the last few years, but also into the foreseeable future, and any help you may be able to provide would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again for your time, and I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you for that. Members, do we have any questions? No? Okay. Representative Myers, to your bill.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. You know, small city, I guess I'm excited to live in this community. I got in here just before that 2020, so I experienced a lot of those breaks because I am right on that main road as well. And with three daughters, you know, you want to make sure we're getting our, you know, our showers in. And but it's 560 houses. We have limited staff. They've been very diligent about the resources they have to address those, and I'm hopeful that this committee will give it consideration. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for coming down to advocate for your city today, Mayor. Appreciate that. Okay, next up, myself, Representative Scraba. You ready? I'll close out the committee.
You want to?
Yep.
I was wondering if I was attending or not. A hammer, all right. A hammer in the morning.
Next up is Chair Franson and her guest. May proceed.
Wow, thank you, Chair Scraba. Appreciate your kindness here. Thank you, members. Thank you, Chair Lee, for hearing House File 3135 for the city that is easy to get to and hard to leave. That's correct. I have with me our city engineer, our county engineer, Tim Erickson, to go over the project, but we're just simply looking for $1.5 million for an interchange on 94, and here's how this started. It was kind of funny. We have a growing area. Alexandria is growing, and Senator Westrum and I were discussing one day about where we thought an interchange should go for our growing community, and we discussed it, and we thought this is where we want to put this interchange. And I kindly brought it up to Mr. Erickson here, thinking that we would have a longer discussion about it, but actually this plan was already on his radar, and with that, I'll let him take over.
Mr. Erickson, name and where are you from?
Yes, I'm Tim Erickson. I'm the Public Works Director. I'm also the County Engineer for Douglas County. So for the chair members, the committee members, thank you so much for your time this morning. So Douglas County in general and the Alexandria area in particular is a growing community. And the population of the county has grown about 20% over the past 20 years, and that growth is anticipated to continue into the future. Almost one-third of the population of Douglas County resides within the city of Alexandria. Future growth of the Alexandria area is expected to be to the north and to the east of the current city limits. Douglas County is planning to serve this growing community by building an interchange on Interstate Highway 94 at County State Aid Highway 17. Located approximately 5 miles east of Alexandria and 6 miles west of Osakis, This rural interchange will initially serve the residents and tourists to the Douglas County Lakes area, as well as the communities of Alexandria, Nelson, Ferrata, and Osakis in Douglas County, and Villard in Pope County. As the city of Alexandria continues to grow, this interchange will become a vital connection to serve the residents of eastern limits of the city. And once the interchange is completed, Cassat 17 is also expected to develop into an additional truck route for this community. The proposed interchange will utilize an existing bridge over I-94, so we only need to construct the entrance and exit ramps to the interstate. This will maximize benefit while keeping costs manageable. Douglas County's estimated construction cost for the project to be $5 million. That's just construction. That will be funded through the county's local option sales tax. This bill, we're requesting $1.5 million. That will provide for the design and the preliminary engineering of the interchange. So essentially, when we're ready to build this, we've got a head start because all of our approvals have done. We're ready to go. Thank you.
Yes, so members, thank you, Mr. Erickson. As you heard this, it's $1.5 million that we're asking for, and this project will not be back in front of this body asking for more money, which I find is very important.
Thank you, Chair Franzen. Any questions? Anyone? I have a question. Thank you. Will this alleviate the pressure into the city? Does it take, have the city fathers or people saying, hey, you know, you're taking away our business, or is this a relief?
So this would be a relief. And quite honestly, this isn't just a relief for the city of Alexandria. It's a relief for the city of Osakis as well, because there is no interchange exit.
Access.
There's no access between Osakis and Alexandria.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none. Thank you.
Final thoughts, Mary?
Yes. I'm sorry, Chair Franzen. I was rushing along because we were going to get going, you know. Sorry, Chair.
No, I have no further thoughts. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony.
Well, members, I would have been disappointed if Representative Scraba had not taken an opportunity when he didn't have me to tell him no, he could not talk. So with that, we will be meeting next Tuesday, and Chair Lee will hold the gavel. And with that, we are adjourned.